Good morning. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. I got to tell you, I can't prop the space shuttle right now. I'm recovering
from... Yeah, that's right. You had to fix your shoulder.
I had to fix the shoulder. Rotator cuff surgery. Ugh. Anyway, we have got a zoo in front of
us
here. Literally. The studio. We have no more seats in the studio. We have people
standing. We had to
standing.
Make them stand, yeah.
Oh, the horror.
They had to draw straws. It was a fiasco.
It was. We've got Taras Lysenko and his group here.
Taras Lysenko. I can't even talk. Taras Lysenko. What happened to Smith? I mean, what happened to easy names, right? Brian Lynch, Marty Martin. Okay, there's a good one. And Dan Brandt. Hey, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good to be good.
All right. Now, Taras, you're involved with the Dauntless Dive Bomber, correct?
Yeah, we brought a SBD-1 Dauntless Dive Bomber from, we picked it up in Miramar last week. It's a Miramar Marine Base, Air Base. Marine Corps Air Station. And we put it on a truck and we brought it here to show everybody because that's what we have to do. We have to do public outreach and educate the public on what the men and women, the greatest generation, did to protect our liberty and freedom. And that's what we're doing. We're interacting with as many people as possible, telling them a little bit about it and where they can learn more. And it will be, once after Sunday, it will head over to the Kalamazoo Aviation History Museum, known as the Air Zoo, Kalamazoo, Michigan, Portage, Michigan, to finish its restoration process, and then it'll go on to a prestigious place for public display where it will educate millions of more people.
Okay, so this is a non-flying at this point in time?
It's a non-flying restoration, but I'll let the restorer talk about that.
Okay. Which one of you guys is the restorer?
Oh, there is. That would be me.
I see a hand.
That's
all I got. So, well, what was it doing at Miramar, first off?
Oh, I'll answer that. Yeah. We originally, when we recovered it back in 1994, it was slotted for the USS Alabama Battleship Park Memorial Museum, and hopefully I have the name right. It was slotted for there, and it's my understanding, I think I'm correct on this, that a little while after it arrived there, they had a hurricane in that area, and when a hurricane hits a museum, they get a lot of other extra damage. So this aircraft was put on a back burner. The restoration was put on a back burner. So the management of the National Naval Aviation Museum sent it to the USS Midway, where it kind of, my opinion, seemed to stay on a back burner as well.
Languished.
Yeah, it languished there for however many years, quite a few years. Well, then it got transferred to the Flying Leathernecks Museum, and they just did not have the oomph to...
It's a big job. Even a small airplane, it's a big job.
Yeah, and so it stayed there for a lot of years, and they closed their doors about 6 months ago, I think. And so the Navy has to take everything back, so... When I heard they closed their doors, I got on the phone to the management of the National Naval Aviation Museum and said, how about we put together a program to send it up to the Air Zoo, where they have a track record of doing this. And so I contacted the family of the pilot, who one of the members is with us here, and said, we need to transport this thing up to the Air Zoo. So I have a bunch of arguing to do. And
I'm not going to do it. You do it.
I had a bunch of arguing. So I said, we need some support. So one of the family members, Brian, is with us right here.
Very cool. So tell us how your father's airplane ended up in the lake, right? Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, Lake Water. I don't know where it went.
You're asking questions that I end up answering because it's a mystery to him. I'm the one who had to tell him.
You never told him?
And it's not his father. It's not his father, but it's his great uncle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can only tell you what Taras has told me.
Okay.
So, but I can tell you that, growing up, our Uncle Herbert, who flew this airplane and put the airplane down in Lake Michigan, just off the shore, really, of Chicago, he died. It was in the winter, and so the airplane went down. Not exactly sure why. I think it was there's a lot of different reasons, but he landed
nicely.
I
think it was a fuel problem.
Could have been a fuel problem, but he landed it nicely because there's very little damage to the airplane.
Okay.
But the water was very cold, and so he died, and the body was never recovered. So for the family, since 1941 or 42, it's been a complete mystery. But we, my brothers and I, had a bunch of stuff from Herbert's, his violin. We have pictures of him and a lot of his history. And our family had been a big mystery. One day, I'm at a medical conference in Vermont, and I get a call from this guy. He goes, "Was your dad Joe Lynch?" I'm like, "Yeah." He didn't even introduce himself. "Was your dad Joe Lynch?" I said, "Yeah." "Was your grandmother Thelma Bounds?" I'm like, "Yeah. You know, who is this?" And then he goes, "Well, I got a story for you." And that's when we found out that they had actually recovered that very airplane.
Wow.
And so it's been really pretty fascinating to go through the process and see what talent gets brought to bear on, you know, restoring an airplane like this. And my background's in mechanical engineering, and I just think this is just such a fantastic way to educate the public on what went on and you know, what goes on in our military and not only that, but the engineering behind it. And so it's a fascinating way to get involved in the education of the people around the country about what goes into putting our forces to work. It's
right.
Just fantastic.
And again, all before computers.
Yeah.
All before computers. These were slide rule guys, and they did a great job.
And one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that the Dauntless was the hero of the Midway battle, because everybody else got shot down. And, of course, the torpedoes and the torpedo bombers, they didn't work. They had problems with them. And it was the Dauntless that saved the day, turned the tide.
Absolutely. They built over 5,000 of them. I mean, it's unbelievable how the country geared up for that response. And the Dauntless did do a fantastic job.
Well, you know, and the restoration of this aircraft, you know, back when they were building these things, they could just punch them out like cookie cutter stuff. But here, you guys have got a one-of-a-kind aircraft, and you're going to restore it. This is going to be a static restoration, not a flying one.
Yep.
So you could be a little looser with it. But how much time do you think it's going to take? Like 3 or 4 times the amount of time it took to actually build it?
Well, I imagine when they built the airplane, we were probably talking weeks to build one of those. That would be my guess. We're talking years. The state of the airplane at the moment, and I first got my first chance to actually see the airplane just yesterday morning. I would say we're talking 5 years, maybe a little more, to finish it.
That's an incredible amount of effort.
We're quicker.
And you're not just going to do a restoration on it. You're going to have to do a preservation as well.
Yes.
Active corrosion or anything, you're going to have to mitigate that.
Yes. Well, a lot of that has already been done.
Flex seal.
But given the time that it has set idle, if you will, I think there's some of that we're probably going to have to readdress. And perhaps
at least most of that time was in the West Coast, where the weather's kinder.
True, very, very true. Nevertheless, we've got at the Air Zoo, we've got about 80 active volunteers, most of them in their 70s and 80s. We have 3 gentlemen in their 90s.
Wow.
Still actively restoring our airplanes. Because of the age group, the majority of them, I would say, are ex-military themselves. So they hold these projects very, very close to their heart. And the work they do is not just, you know, banging out sheet metal and getting it done. It comes from the heart.
Now, once the aircraft is complete,
mm-hmm.
you guys aren't keeping it.
No.
It's going to... looks like the
No. We don't know where it's going to go.
Okay.
We kind of keep that close hold because deals fall through, things change.
Well, I've got room in my backyard.
I got
a driveway.
Look good in my front yard. HOA might have something to say about.
Yeah, there you go.
Being in Florida.
I don't have an HOA. Yeah. Bring it on.
Look at you.
Hey, the only thing I would ask is if we get a hold of it, the engine's got to run. We got to be able to start it up.
What is your role, Naval Aviation Museum Foundation?
So the foundation, our job really is to help with public outreach for the National Naval Aviation Museum. We are the fundraising arm, and we help the museum itself, help it operate by funding it for restorations, not this one, but they have 2 active restorations back there right now in Pensacola. We also do education outreach. The big one is operations expansion or modernization of the facility. It's a government-owned building, but we typically do a lot of help the museum with their operation.
Okay.
But the big thing is education. That's huge. And in this project, we got involved early on when terrorists went down and recovered it. We helped fund it at the direction of the Navy. So that's
they actually did fund the recovery.
We provided that resource.
Yeah, they funded the recovery, and they're a big part of the drivers of the whole educational push, because not only working closely with the Navy, but the donors and stuff, all the donors want to see they want to see an impact to what we're doing. That's why we're doing this splash here the way we're doing it. We're hoping to see over the next week 30,000 to 50,000 people who will all take the information we give them, put it on every social media thing they have. Our target is to reach tens of millions of people by the end of the week.
Oh, that's quite a goal. Real quick.
Social media helps.
Yeah
definitely.
You guys, websites, where can we go?
Yep. Here you go, right here. Here you go.
All right. Okay, there is a visit airzoo.org/SBD-1 for more information, and you can follow. I'm assuming you can be able to follow the restoration along.
Keep that updated, all the progress going along. All kind there's tons of information. We have the pilot's jackets. The training jacket, the history of the pilot, all the rest, and some of it is terribly heart wrenching. When you find out, because this was not a combat casualty,
right?
And it's very hard for people to understand how somebody could be lost by the U.S. Navy in training, and so come to see the aircraft and follow the thing on the internet and share.
All right, we will. All right, gentlemen, all right. It's great to have you. Thanks for coming. Hope you enjoy the rest of the week. I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.
Thanks.